May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Please be seated. And I'm going to start off with this. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.
And that's such a resounding sound, you know, really, that to hear it, because we know from the Gospels, and they're all slightly different, but we know that at that point we were very confused. But for us, the lesson is to believe it, to trust in the Lord, to mean it when we say it, to be genuine, act for that, and really be grateful to our God for all he has done, and most of all, to love him and to love one another, which can be trying at times. I know. And I don't mean to be funny, and I know that you hear people, they'll say, the priest will say, oh, well, the Christmas services are this time and Easter, and the Easter services are this time at Christmas, and the intention that I'm going to tell you next has nothing to do with being sarcastic. For me, all of Lent, every day, is a journey. But for me, Good Friday has got to be the most important day for me personally to be in church. We start off with the Stations of the Cross, and then we do another short little Good Friday service. But I really like to be reminded of what Jesus went through that day. And it's not because, you know, I want to traumatize anybody or I want to be traumatized, but it's good to really know how much Jesus loves us. And on Good Friday, when we go through the stations, I say to myself, and this is the truth, at any point of that day, he could have just, you know, really and sincerely just, that was it. You know, like, blown everybody away, poof, be gone, and that was it. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God loves us so much that he didn't do that. And I think to myself, I know if I have a little cold, or if I have a paper cut, or if I hurt something, you know, and I complain to myself, oh, it hurt. Can you imagine being crucified? Really? I say to myself, there is no way I would do that. I'm sure that after the first bang on the nail, I would say, oh, no, that's it, nope, I've had it. But Jesus didn't say no. Jesus was willing to leave his heavenly throne, come down, and be with us so that he could relate to us 100% of the way, and we could relate to him. And he never gave up. He never will. When we die, we're going to be like received by Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, with his arms wide open. In Isaiah, he really writes the importance and the change that Jesus makes. He says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Think about that. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, it shall be food. Its food shall be dust. And there will be no more hurt on all of God's holy mountain. And that's what Jesus has instituted. We are forgiven. Even though we may go around hurting one another at times, we are already forgiven. All we have to do is turn to Jesus and say, okay, all right, I'm getting it. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be tolerant. I am going to change. And then when we fail, we go right back. And he's there. We might say to ourselves, well, you know, the devil made me do it. You know, I've got to sin no matter what because I'm human. Well, we had that excuse at first, but in 1 Corinthians, it gives us a clue. For since death came to a human being, sin, the story of Adam and Eve, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being, Jesus. So we had that excuse of being sinful and stopping there, but now we have Jesus Christ who helps us grow and get beyond that and be forgiven. So we don't have that excuse anymore. We can make a choice to love and to serve the Lord. We have a choice to believe in Jesus' resurrection and change. For me, the story about how the apostles leave their hidden room, and we'll hear that in the next couple of weeks, is, for me, that tells me Jesus was resurrected because they were afraid to get out of their room. And this story, or that, you know, story in the true sense, not that it's make-believe, because it's not, it's real. But this gospel just shows all of human nature. Mary Magdalene, she loved him. And so she went to the tomb. Some of the women were bringing spices. And then, he wasn't there, so she ran back and got Peter and John. John was the disciple whom he loved. Well, those two started running. John was much younger, so John made it first, but John was chicken. He didn't go in. Peter finally made it there, a little bit older. And he went in, and then John went in. And John believed. And so did Peter. Now, what happens next? They leave, they go back home, and Mary sticks around. She keeps looking. Because she just didn't want it to be over. That's it. They didn't comprehend what was happening. So Mary peeks in again, and boom, there's two angels. There's two men dressed in white. And she said, they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Well, they've taken away my Lord. They've taken Jesus away." And then when she had said this, she turned around. And of course, Jesus was there. Now, it might sound peculiar that she didn't recognize him, but can you imagine just losing your best friend? He had been crucified, beaten, totally marred. You're basically hysterical. You're grieving. You're lonely. You don't want things to be the way they are. She didn't recognize him. It's understandable. And so she thinks he's the gardener. She says, "Well, where is he?" And basically, Jesus says, "Well, who are you weeping for? Who are you looking for?" And she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, "They carried him away." And finally, Jesus looks at her and he says, "Mary." And that's the gift. Jesus knows each and every one of us. And can you imagine being panicked? Have you ever been panicked? And then cried out? And Jesus says to us, he calls us by name. The comfort, the love, the security that God has for us and gives us, it's amazing. And it's perfect and it's pure. So she recognized him. She finally recognized him. That's the gift. Jesus knows each and every one of us in an intimate way. He knows us better than ourselves. All we have to do is to choose. Are we going to worship the Lord? Are we going to put him first in our lives and not have distractions? Are we going to love him and try our darndest to serve him and to serve one another, to serve our families, to serve the town, and so forth, and growing and growing? Are we willing to love all others like God through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, loves us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us. We also thank Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who loves us so much that he came and lived among us and showed us the perfect example of what you want. We also thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you give each and every one of us to guard us, to comfort us, to guide us, to teach us, and to love us. Help us to share that love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.